Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limits off.
Together, we welcome you to the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We are so grateful that you have decided to join in with us today. You could have tuned in anywhere else on all of the internet, but you decided to join in with us today. So do us a favor, sit back, clap your hands, give God some praise, and give thanks, for He is good. He is good. Come on, put your hands together with us. Come on. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good, for He is worthy, worthy, for He is good. Yes, He is good, for He is worthy, worthy, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, wherever you are.
Yes, He is good.
Wherever you are, get thanks, get thanks, wherever you are.
Yes, He is good. For He is good. Yes, He is good.
Let us go to the throne of grace this morning. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, have your way in this service, God. Do what you do, God. Sit in, God. Sit in, rest yourself in this service, God. Touch each and every individual that's responsible for this service today, God. Let the preached word go forward. Let the sung word go forward. Let the played word go forward, God. Have your way in this place, God. Touch those right now, God. Every household that's watching, wherever they are, God, all around the world, let them know that God loves and sits and rests at the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, give thanks, my God. Our scripture text comes from the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. The book of Mark, the 9th chapter, starting at the 33rd verse. Mark, the 9th chapter, starting at the 33rd verse. And it reads, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" 34 says, "But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." Verse 35 says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." The word of God is already blessed. Allowed us to see another day in this place. We are still on the journey. We are excited. still excited about what the Lord is doing in ministry here at Ebenezer. And we are so grateful that you decided to join with us here at Ebenezer. As Dr. King, Minister King said, that you could have chosen any other place to be, but you decided to stop by Ebenezer and have church with us. And for that, we are grateful. We are so very grateful. We have gotten a few more notes in that we'd like to acknowledge this morning for those persons that received tokens of congratulations from our scholarship committee. I want to read this letter. It says, "Dear Pastor Person, Ebenezer and Scholarship Ministry, I am so thankful for everyone that contributed to the generous donation that I received. I also appreciated the acknowledgement in honoring all the graduates of the class of 2020. This made my special day even better, as I was glad I had the chance to celebrate my big accomplishment. I am truly blessed for your love and your support. Thank you, Jada Tolliver. To God be the glory for the things that he is doing in her life as she continues on in her studies." Just have a couple of quick announcements that we want to make mention as it relates to those persons requesting prayer. We are praying, lifting up, certainly, Sister Bernetta Pearson, who is my mother-in-law, who is being challenged in her health. We want to remember all the sick and the shut-in, those persons that are in and out of the hospital. We want to also celebrate once yet again Sister Gladys Evans as she turned 101 years old. 101 years of life, and God is still blessing her. And though we are still in this season of pandemic, we recognize that we can't be there physically, but our prayers go. We can send our prayers for those who are shut in, those who are in nursing facilities, those who are hospitalized at this time. And so we want to continue to remember and pray for those who are being challenged in their health. At this time, let us prepare now our hearts and our minds for our music ministry as they share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in song.
Take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You
'cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. Your light saved my life. See, everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. Your light saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. I'm so in love with you. Can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. 'Cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong. Your light saved my life. See, everything about you is right. Covers all my wrong. Your light saved my life. See, everything about you is right. Covers all my wrong. Your light saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. So in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and 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 you. 'Cause everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong. Your life saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. 'Cause everything about you is right. Covers all my wrong. Your life saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. So in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. Forever me and you. Forever me and you. Forever me and you. 'Cause everything about you is right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. When I think about you, come on, come on. God bless you. This is that part of the service where you too can join in with us. This is what we call offering time. So for our tithers, this is nothing new for you. For our all givers, this is nothing new for you. But for those of you who may not be familiar with Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music, this is the time of the service where you can give to the kingdom so that we can continue kingdom business here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. there's a scripture that comes to mind. It just says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, come on now, ye shall be measured to you again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we do here. You have to sow if you want to reap, huh? So right now on your screen, you should be able to see the ways that you can give. You can text to give, whatever the amount is you choose to give. You can text that to give right to our Ebenezer text to give option. Or you can go to EbenezerBronzeville.org and go ahead and hit the donate button. And there you can give or pay your tithe as well. And if you old school and just want to drop it in the mail, you can do that as well. 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. And guess what? There's still one last option. If you feel like driving by because you just missed the place, you can drive on by to the 45th Street side, 511 East 45th Street, and drop it right in the slot on the door. We will definitely get it. God bless you. Come on, musicians. Keep it going. Come on, come on, come on.
You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. 'Cause everything about you is right. Covers all my wrongs. Your life saved my life. See, everything about you is right. Covers all my wrongs. Your life saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. I'm so in love with you, can't make it without you. I live to worship you, forever be you. I'm so in love with you, can't make it without you. I live to worship you, forever be you.
Withholding nothing. Withholding.
withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you.
Every little piece of me, God, I
be, Lord. Hallelujah. I give myself away. I give you all of me.
Hallelujah. We thank God for our anointed psalmist, for our music ministry that is ministering to us even now. Thank you for putting us in a posture to worship. Thank you for putting us in a place and a space to praise his name. For he is worthy of the praise. And I know that we are still yet dealing with challenging and difficult times, but I want to assure you and still declare that he is worthy of the praise. So give all of yourself right now to worshiping and praising Almighty God, for he has been good. He's been better than good, better than good. He has been merciful. He has been kind. He has protected you, kept you from all hurt, harm, and danger. He's worthy of the praise. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
I give you all of me.
Hallelujah.
Sing, sing, sing. My Savior. My Savior. Forever, forever and ever.
I give yeah, yeah.
you all of me. I give you all of me. King Jesus. My Savior. Forever and ever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I give you all of me.
Wherever you are, wherever you are, praise him.
I give you all of me.
Come on, come right now, praise him.
I give you all of me.
Praise him through the challenges. Praise him through the difficulties. Praise him.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit. We thank you right now, God, that we can feel your presence in the room and wherever we may be right now. God, we thank you because you are yet able and you still sit on the throne. God, we ask now that you will continue to be in the midst of this worship service through the preached word. God, hide this your servant behind the cross, so less of me and more of thee will be seen and heard this day. Take these words, O God, and use them for your glory, in the hopes that someone might be edified and strengthened in their journey and walk with you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray, and all of God's people said amen. We are again happy to have you here at Ebenezer. To those who few people who are here, our trustees and key essential personnel, all 8 to 9 of you are here. To the Facebook pews, Ebenezer, we are welcoming you and our guests and our friends and extended family. You should know that we are working to expand our reach, and we are hoping in very short order we'll be able to have additional platforms that we can promote and preach the gospel from. I want to speak from the subject, Jesus Knows All About It. Jesus Knows All About It. It was read into your hearing the text from Mark, the 9th chapter, 33-35. In our passage today, Jesus gives us God's blueprint for greatness. Notice the occasion for giving this blueprint. The disciples were engaged in an argument about who was the greatest among themselves as they were traveling with Jesus on the road, kind of like kids do in the back seat of the car. And when they arrived, Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about?" And immediately everyone became silent and full of embarrassment to answer the master when he asked that question. Realize that as children, when our parents asked what the argument is about, we all tended to get silent because we did not want to face the discipline for our behavior. This is such the same with the disciples at this time with Jesus. And just like our parents knew what was going on long before we would say, Jesus already knew. If you've ever been in trouble as a believer, I know you've wondered in your private moments if Jesus really knew all about it. When life turns upside down and we can't seem to turn it right side up, it's natural to wonder if Jesus really cares and is aware about our circumstances. And if you ever had thoughts that weren't exactly a Christian moment, you know that moment, what would Jesus do? I know you wondered if Jesus really knew all about it. When we slip and when we slide into sin, it's natural for a Christian to wonder if Jesus is really paying attention. Oh, we like to sing Jesus knows all about it, but if we are honest, beloved, with ourselves, we would have to admit there are some things we wish we could conceal from Christ. Do I have any witnesses in the room? You know, that debt we refuse to pay, that responsibility we refuse to accept, that guilt we refuse to confess, that tongue we refuse to control, that lust we refuse to constrain, that Hennessy we refuse to put down, that affair we refuse to end, that tithe we refuse to pay, that language we refuse to clean up, that gossip we should have refused to repeat, that magazine we should have thrown away, or even that rap music we should have turned off, or that neighbor we refused to help, or that trouble we should have steered clear of. Did I leave anything out? I might have, but Jesus knows all about it. In our text today, Jesus and his disciples have just arrived in Capernaum. They no sooner get settled when Jesus asked them an all-important question. What were you guys arguing about while we were on the road? And you know, it's hard to believe anyone would dare to argue about anything in the presence of Jesus Christ. But I guess human nature has a way of surfacing even in the holiest of environments. I know you know what I mean. You know that unkind remark at choir rehearsal, or that snicker over the pastor's message. Or the gossip, that gossip spread at some ministry meeting. Or that criticism voiced at church business meeting. Or that judgmental attitude towards a new member. Most of the time we catch ourselves, but sometimes things just slip out. Do I have a witness? So I guess we should give the disciples the benefit of the doubt and say that they just were just caught off guard by the overwhelming temptation before them. And what was that temptation? It was the temptation to be the greatest disciple. You see, the disciples were having a Muhammad Ali moment, arguing among themselves who was the greatest. I don't know about you, but we, if we look at the record, was it Peter who Jesus had called the rock? Was it John who loved Jesus more than anyone? Was it Luke who offered free physician services? Was it Matthew who had connections with the Roman treasury? Or was it Mark who had it in with the Jews? Or was it Judas who held the purse strings? As soon as they got to their destination house at Capernaum, verse 34 says that Jesus asked the question, "What were you guys arguing about while we were on the road?" And the disciples clammed up. The Bible says they held their peace. The brief account of this Capernaum visit gives us some insight into the mindset of the disciples and the mindset of Jesus at this stage of their walk with their new rabbi. This short record tells us a few things. First, the disciples had not yet developed a strong faith. These men were still under the tutelage of Jesus. They were servants in waiting, operating under their own limited understanding of this new gospel. They were newbies. Their faith was not yet developed enough to empower them to do the work of the ministry. These schoolyard disciples were essentially in basic training. No diplomas had been issued. No orders had come down. They were not yet licensed to perform the great work of kingdom building. All of their servant internship was being performed under the license of their rabbi, Jesus. At least some of the disciples must have wondered how Jesus knew about the argument they had on the road to Capernaum. After all, they felt like they were being discreet. They thought they were being careful. They thought they had taken every precaution not to be within earshot of their master. Otherwise, they would have tabled their argument till Jesus laid down to sleep or went off to pray. It wouldn't be long before the disciples got a real life lesson on the work of ministry. When Peter, James, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and joined the other disciples, they ran into a man who came to them with a prayer request for his lunatic son, whom he said was sorely vexed. He told Jesus that he brought his sons to the disciples for a cure, but they could not cure him. Jesus cited them for their weakness, calling them a faithless and perverse generation. Then he rebuked the devil, and the Bible says that the child was cured in that same hour. The disciples came to their teacher and said, Why couldn't we do that, Jesus? And Jesus responded, "It's your unbelief that's the stumbling block. It will take prayer and fasting to develop your faith before you get to the point of performing miracles." And I know I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus made it clear that faith is the key. And so it is clear for us. The reason perhaps we get sidetracked in our work and in our mission is because we allow unbelief to be our stumbling block. We have to believe that God can do great things in and around our church. We have to believe that God can stand up in your life and do great things. You have to have faith that God can make it so even for you. What were the disciples lacking? Jesus said what they were lacking was their faith. The faith that was the size of a mustard seed. To them, it may have sounded insulting because the mustard seed was the tiniest of seeds. Surely they had at least that much faith. Weren't they following Jesus at their own peril? But to understand this parable, we need to understand how the mustard seed grows. It very well may be the tiniest of seeds, the size of a pinhead, but by the time it breaks through the ground, the stalk has already developed a a vast root system that will sustain it through desert droughts. You see, Jesus was comparing the growth of the mustard seed with spiritual growth of his disciples. They needed a deep root system of faith to prepare them to conquer all circumstances, to defeat all discouragement, to overcome all oppositions, to face all of their fears, to defy all devils and withstand all of their storms. Second, we learn their desire to be the greatest was not godly. Disciples must have known this. Why else would they have held their peace when Jesus asked them what they were arguing about? At the very moment Jesus posed his questions, disciples were ashamed of their arguing. How ridiculous to think that Jesus had a favorite. Every disciple would be important to the work of the ministry. Did you hear what I'm saying? Every disciple would be important to the work of the ministry. Peter had to anchor the body of Christ in Jerusalem. John would ultimately write the book of Revelations on the Isle of Patmos. Thomas would spread the gospel into southern India. Andrew would preach to the Scythians and the Thracians. James, the son of Zebedee, and James, the son of Alphaeus, would both preach to the early converts at Rome. Philip would preach to the Greeks. Nathaniel would preach to the Muslims. Matthew would preach throughout Ethiopia. Thaddeus would preach to Methodius in Syria and Arabia. Simon the Canaanite would preach in Egypt, Cyrene, and other parts of Africa. Only Jesus would betray Jesus. Everyone, every disciple would be important to the work of the ministry. So it is in the church. Every single one of you that are watching in the Facebook pews are important to the ministry. It doesn't make a difference how long you have been there or how long you have been here. Every person has a role to play. I heard a preacher say there are no unemployed Christians. All of us have a role to play in stewardship, in evangelism, and in the work that God has given into our hands. So don't get mad when the preacher don't call your name. Preacher don't have favorites. Everyone is important to the ministry of Christ. Every disciple would have a critical role to play in the spread of the gospel. Every believer has a role to play. So why would Jesus need to pick the greatest among them? Such foolishness was carnal, certainly not spiritual. Disciples tried to avoid Jesus' question and hide the truth of the argument, but we learn that Jesus knew all about it anyway. For our text says, he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Did you hear that text? It says, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Right there, Jesus puts an end to their debate with a one-sentence life lesson. If you want to be first, be last. Don't seek to lead, but rather seek to serve. In other words, lead from the rear. Our human nature gets in the way of genuine Christian service. Our nature responds to flattery. Our nature responds to motivation of power and prestige. It's provoked by position rather than purpose. It's driven by earthly reward rather than heavenly honor. But Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says, Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. The disciples thought about personal glory, missing the point of the cross. You see, true greatness is giving. True greatness is self-sacrifice. Service is always a sacrifice. You see, if you really, really want to be great, you need to understand that a truly great person is a father who may work a job he hates
because he loves those in his home. A truly great person is a mother who gives life to a child that many may not even want and spends 20 years putting on diapers, feeding, clothing, and educating that child in life's important basics, then spending the rest of her life praying for and thinking about that child every day. A truly great person is that single person who may have a little extra freedom but gives themselves to others. A truly great person is a civil servant who takes no bribes and shows no bigotry or favoritism. A truly great person is a nurse who cleans up after grumpy and angry and mean-spirited patients with a smile. A great person is a teacher who instructs our bad children faithfully even when they are too tired. And thankfully, many of you are among the truly great. And I count it a privilege to journey with you in time. True greatness comes in all shapes and all sizes, but always contains one essential ingredient: selfless service to others. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you want to be great, then you got to be willing to serve. Jesus' words in verse 35 are some tough words, especially for us today, for it's countercultural to change our perspective from being me-focused to being other-focused. For the last 40 years, we have been inundated and bombarded by millions and millions of ads and commercials and T-shirts and slogans and songs that tell us to focus on ourselves and our own needs. Have it your way. Y'all know who said that. You deserve a break today. Just do it. We are so me-centered and not other-centered. That's why we can't find so many folk who can't put on a mask to protect our communities, because we're so me-focused and not thinking about other people. In contrast, Christian service is selfless and often without earthly reward. It does not seek to be the front runner or the trailblazer. For true Christian service does not seek to manage or spearhead the spread of the gospel, but to do it one saved soul at a time. And if a Christian is chosen to lead, it is by virtue of his or her humility. Leadership sought any other way is not Christian leadership. It is at best flawed. I know many of you have been working a long time in the service of the Lord, but Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your burdens. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your financial condition. That's why he said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your fears. That's why he said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your sorrow. That's why he said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your persecution. That's why he said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Jesus knows all about it. He knows about your virtues and your vices. He knows about your sins and your sincere confessions. He knows about your wicked ways and your quest for decency. He knows who is righteous and who is mischievous. He knows about our faith and our foolishness. He knows what's in our heads and yet in our hearts. Jesus knows all about it because Jesus knows all about us. Today, Jesus challenges us. He challenges all to be one of his number one disciples. He has provided for us this morning the pathway. And it's a pathway in which he challenges us to put our focus on others. He challenges us to put our focus on service, putting love into action. He challenges us to accept others. This morning, the question is, will you accept his challenge? Jesus knows all about it. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen, amen. God bless your hearts this morning. At this time, we would like to extend an invitation to you to join with us here at Ebenezer. We're opening the doors of the church. We are virtually opening the door, extending an invitation to you, not necessarily to join this church, although we will want you to do that, but we want you to give your life to Jesus. We want you to become saved. We want you to make an open commitment to the Lord. If you are that person, we're opening the doors of the church. And all we're asking, if you want to be a part of this fellowship, we're asking that you would just send your name and your email address in the comment section. And one of our deacons and our church clerk will follow up with you to pray the prayer of faith so that you would be saved. And once all of this season of pandemic is over, we will invite you to come into the doors of Ebenezer where we can extend the right hand of fellowship to you. We want very desperately, very importantly, to be your pastor. You need a pastor during this season. You need someone to be concerned about your soul. You need a covering. We pray that you decide that Ebenezer is that place. And so we're opening the doors of the church. You could come as a convert. You could come by letter. Perhaps you've been outside of the fellowship of a church and you want to reconnect with the church. We are extending an invitation today for you to connect with us. The doors of this church are open to you, you, and you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Give your life to the Master. The doors of the church are open. Hallelujah. 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 God will. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless your hearts. We pray that someone responded. We want to make mention once again that we continue with our season of prayer at 6:15 on Wednesdays. We have prayer over our Zoom platform, and we're inviting you to join with us during 15 minutes of prayer on Wednesdays at 6:15. And immediately following that time of prayer at 6:30, we have our Zoom Bible study. And we have been spending a lot of time in the book of Acts, and we have been blessed by our time. The Bible studies have been good. Some of y'all had seemed like y'all went on summer break. We not breaking because you don't have to go far. All you got to do is open your phone, your computer, your tablet, or whatever it is, and join us for Bible study. It is good learning. It's good fellowship, and it's strengthening the body of Christ. We want you to continue to pray for those who are sick among us. Pray for our country. Pray for our leadership. We know we got a lot of praying to do. We trying to send kids back to schools with no cure and 100 different ways of addressing this pandemic and no uniformity. We got to pray that wisdom will win out and that we will do the right things on behalf of our children. So we're asking you to continue to be in prayer. Continue to pray for the ministries here at Ebenezer. We're thanking God for the media ministry, for what they are doing. As I said before, we are hoping to go and increase our platforms in one more week or so. We were going to be adding YouTube. We already have a YouTube channel. It's just not up yet. It's Ebenezer MB Church. Ebenezer MB Church. And that's going to be coming. And then also the radio on iHeartRadio at TTLO soon. So we want to expand our reach because we know everybody doesn't have Facebook. And we are preparing and working hard to continue to conduct ministry as if we don't know when we're going to come back. And so we just have to look at how we're going to do it differently. We desperately miss you all and want to see you, want to hug. We will never take for granted shaking hands and hugging necks when this is all over. Can I get a witness, somebody in the chat space? I want to say thank you. I always want to say thank you to the music ministry for what you continue to offer to the glory of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let us now prepare for our benediction. And now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, to him who's able to present you for his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor and glory, now, henceforth, and forevermore is our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.